Welcome back to the podcast on evidence-based medicine. I'm Dr. Renner, board certified in internal medicine and radiology, served as chairman of the Department of Radiology, Ohio GI and Liver Institute. I'm here with Dr. Alan Safdie, board certified in internal medicine, nutrition, gastroenterology, and chief medical officer at Quadrant Healthcare, co-owned by the Mayo Clinic and Stanford University. Today, we're diving into a striking new study published in the Journal of American College of Cardiology. It confirms something that's simple and profound. Over 99% of heart attacks, strokes, and cases of heart failure occur in people with at least one preventable modifiable risk factor. Alan, tell me about this new study.
Bill, it's really an interesting study because one of the number one killers, depending on the state we live in, or the number one killer, a lot of that can be prevented. And we're not aggressive enough looking at these risk factors. So what are the big four? And we're going to go through other things today, but what are the big four modifiable risk factors, Bill? Blood pressure. We're not aggressive enough often treating hypertension. So the new guidelines, and we're going to do that on a subsequent podcast and go in depth into blood pressure control. Blood pressure 120 over 80 or on treatment is a risk factor. If you have hypertension, especially on treatment, that's a risk factor. Fasting blood glucose over 100, it looked at. Cholesterol over 200. And it didn't go in depth into the types of cholesterol and apolipoprotein B and LP little a and other things we're going to get into, and smoking history. So those four things, blood pressure, blood sugar control, cholesterol, and before having a heart attack, you know, or heart failure or stroke, over 99% of the individuals had at least one of these modifiable risk factors. There's other unhealthy lifestyles we'll talk about. Most of the people actually had more than one of those risk factors, Bill. So the number one factor was hypertension. In the population there, in both countries, whether it be Korea or the United States, there was 93 and 95% of the individuals had that.
Alan, I think that's really important too, because a lot of people just ignore it. They know they've had they have high blood pressure, but they still eat a lot of salt. They ignore diet. Of course, it's difficult to do diet. And they don't follow up on their blood pressures, especially taking blood pressures either in the morning or at night.
No, I mean, the problem is, which is a good thing, it's a silent disease, which is also a bad thing. If you had pain in your knee, you're going to pay much more attention to it. Hypertension, people tend not to. But it's easy to detect. You can have a home blood pressure cuff. You can take it to your doctor, make sure it's accurate. It's highly treatable. And it's a major driver of strokes, heart attacks, heart failure, and atrial fibrillation. And the take-home message, if you ignore your blood pressure, you're ignoring one of the strongest, most preventable cardiovascular risk factors.
All right, let's talk about the other risk factors.
Yeah, Bill, that's interesting. You know, this study focused on essentially the big four there that we just talked about. But there's a lot of other modifiable risk factors that are easy to modify in some cases, not so easy to modify in the other ones. And lifestyle can affect inflammation, vascular tone, metabolic health, and autonomic balance. So what's one of them? Obesity, especially visceral fat, meaning fat around the middle of our abdomen. And that causes insulin resistance. It causes chronic inflammation. It causes hypertension. It causes abnormal lipids. It can even cause sleep apnea. So what we look at, not as BMI as much anymore, we look at a body roundness index. We look at waist circumference being a stronger predictor of cardiovascular disease than your BMI would be.
Yeah, we used to call this a beer belly, but now it's not related to beer. It's just related to calories and the foods we eat. But it's very, very difficult to see Americans being so hefty, especially around the center.
Yeah, if you have fat arms, fat legs, not as much of a risk factor. So everybody can do body roundness index, and I think we should do a podcast on that because it's more accurate predicting risk. One of the other lifestyles we talk about is sedentary lifestyle, which is avoidable for almost everybody listening to this. Physical inactivity, what's it do to your blood pressure? It raises your blood pressure. What's it do to your lipids? It worsens your lipid. What's it do to your glucose handling? It worsens glucose handling. When you exercise, your muscles take up glucose independent of insulin. So after dinner every night, my wife and I, we take a walk, even though we exercise early in the morning. It also decreases nitric oxide from endothelial cells, meaning, you know, it may lower blood pressure as you're exercising.
Yeah, I like to walk 10,000 steps a day. Now, that number is not an absolute. Some studies have shown that even 4,000 to 7,000 can be very beneficial. I like to do what's called Japanese walking. It's just kind of the latest trend, where you walk 3 minutes at where your heart rate goes up to about 80% of your target rate. Then you slow down to about 50% of your target rate for 3 minutes. You do that repeating for about a half hour, and it's brought down my VO2 max.
Brought up.
Improved it. I just feel cardiovascularly better every day.
You know, it's a good point, Bill. Just, you know, if we look at some of the Copenhagen studies, 21 minutes a day decreased all-cause mortality by 31%. You don't have to do 21 minutes per day, but you have to move. Moving postprandially, meaning after you eat, will lower your blood sugar. Other risk factors that we look at is poor sleep. Huge risk factor in the United States. Shorter fragmented sleep increases your blood pressure again, which is one of the risk modifiable risk factors, increases inflammation, increases insulin resistance, and sympathetic nervous system activity goes up with that. So the sweet spot for most people is around 7 hours, occasionally out to 8 hours of sleep.
And if you look at our previous podcast, Alan did an excellent discussion on how to keep sleep, how to improve your sleep. We'll talk about that in future podcasts as well, though.
Yeah, one of the important things is get rid of the nightlight. I don't want you to trip and fall, but emerging evidence showed nighttime light exposure, especially at higher levels, raises nighttime blood sugar. We talked about glucose being one of the top four, increases next day insulin resistance, disrupts melatonin, and may raise sympathetic tone. So even modest amounts of light, 15 to 20 lux, can alter cardiometabolic physiology.
Yeah, my wife and I bought some of those blackout curtains from Amazon. I don't like to advertise for anyone, but they were very easy to buy. You can buy them any place. They're relatively cheap. For $20, you could put them up in your room, and our room at night is totally black. And it makes it so much easier for me to fall asleep.
Well, we want you to fall asleep, stay asleep, but not forever. The other thing that's a modifiable risk factor that's really easy is diet quality. So what other things, all these factors I'm talking about lead to some of the preventable four, the high lipids, the high blood glucose, you know, the high cholesterol, but diet quality. Get rid of ultra-processed foods. Take a look at the label. Some labels might have 10 or 15 things. If you see multiple things on the label that you don't understand, typically don't buy it. Ultra-processed foods drive hypertension, atherosclerosis, metabolic dysfunction. All the things that we've been talking about drive weight gain. Aim for high-fiber plant-based diets. It doesn't have to be 100% plant-based, but all in full disclosure, I've been a vegetarian for over 30 years. But, you know, enrich your diet with vegetables and whole grains and legumes and nuts and seeds and olive oil and omega-3s. And watch alcohol consumption. Even moderate amounts of alcohol can increase your risk, including atrial fibrillation and blood pressure and cardiomyopathy, which is where we're affecting the actual heart muscle. We want those heart muscles to stay in tune. So, and watch your stress. Hard to do in this day and age, but you know, stress increases cortisol and blood pressure and inflammatory markers.
Yeah, and there's some recent studies that just adding leafy greens to your diet every day markedly improve your cardiovascular risk factors. Just a salad instead of a hamburger, a salad instead of a steak, just simple things you can do. My wife and I, we try to avoid red meat with a passion. Another thing that we've talked about on our podcast is when you're looking at labels, look for high fructose corn sugar. Very bad.
Well, There's a lot of other hidden sugars in there. So maltodextrin is a hidden sugar. There's a lot of artificial sweeteners and that people put in bars and other things. Now we have artificial fats going into some of these, which have decreased absorptive capabilities. You know, go for things that are actually healthy. So in summary, what do we have? We have cardiovascular disease is overwhelmingly preventable. Overwhelmingly preventable. Just remember, 99% of people that had heart attack, strokes, heart failure, have at least one modifiable risk factor beforehand. And the window of prevention is wide open. If we check, track, and treat those factors early, we can prevent a lot of that. And plus the secondary things that we talked about relate to those blood pressure, cholesterol, glucose, and tobacco. The other ones, the lifestyle drivers, drive some of the first ones. Waist circumference, physical activity, sleep, diet, healthy diet, and evening light exposure and stress management.
Well, another great podcast. Be sure to like our podcast and subscribe if you like it. Stay tuned for some new podcasts coming.
Thank you, Bill. And if anybody has any questions, they can email us at healthspandocs@gmail.com. But I appreciate it, and everybody stay healthy.